Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, we find a single statement, but a very powerful statement. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Please note in this verse that it doesn't say that love is God. And the reason I point out the obvious here is because there are people everywhere who believe and would like for others to believe that anything and everything under the heading of love must be from God and must be of God. That is not true. When the Bible tells us that God is love, it's a specific love. It's a love that originates with God and is unique to God. Agape love is God's love. Agape love is part of who God is in His character, in His essence. It's manifested to us and through us, but it does not come from us. Before we jump into the very simple outline that I want to share with you today on this all-important subject of love, I want us to look at what I consider a very key verse in the New Testament, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Let's look at this. And hope does not put us to shame. Why? The hope that we have in the historical facts of what God has done for us, that hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is not a concept here. This is not an idea. This is an experience. There's nothing that you could do to make this happen, and yet you cannot be a Christian unless this does happen. Are you with me? Going to church is great. That doesn't make you a Christian. Doing good works is good, but it doesn't make you a Christian. Only God's love through the Holy Spirit being poured out into our hearts makes us a Christian. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to this, Romans 8, 9. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. How much clearer could that be? What we're talking about is an experience that you receive. You feel it. You know it. You may not feel it all the time in your Christian life, but you know that when God's love was poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit, Jesus said you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. And when that happens, when the Holy Spirit comes in, God's love is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, then we belong to Him and we become a new creation. There's a change. It's not just doctrine. It's not just church attendance. Being baptized will not make you a Christian. You have to have the Holy Spirit, God's love, being poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit where you receive God Himself into your life. And in response to God's love being poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we are then in return to love God and the people that God loves. I want you to look at this quote from C.S. Lewis. Every Christian should agree that spiritual health is exactly proportional to the love of God. I want to ask this question this morning. What does it mean to love God? And I want to suggest to you that it means three things. Number one, to love God is to love who God is. To love who God is requires knowledge, but it requires more than knowledge. You see, there are people everywhere who have a surface knowledge of God, but they're not loving God daily because they're not walking with God daily in a personal, intimate relationship, a love relationship to God. And let me just attempt to illustrate what I'm talking about here with a personal illustration. As of today, September 1st, 2024, Jamie and I have been married for 45 years. And you see that right there? That's when we were newlyweds. That was shortly after our wedding. Now you know what 45 years of marriage can do. But you know, we just had the Summer Olympics. I talked about that a few weeks ago, but you know, at the Summer Olympics, they awarded gold, silver, bronze medals. And I want to tell you right now, my wife deserves a gold medal. Amen. Those of you who know me well are saying, amen. But here's the point I want to make for this message today. In college, when I first saw Jamie, someone told me, that's Jamie King. She's from Texas. That's all I had this surface knowledge of who she was. And then we became friends, and that friendship was nurtured, and then we got engaged. But when we entered the covenant of marriage and began to live together daily, that's when we began to really know one another. And even in a relationship like that, it has to be nurtured. It has to grow over time, the ups and downs that you go through in life. So what I'm saying here this morning is to truly love who God is, there is a relationship that is developed, grown, and nurtured. A person comes into a love relationship with God, and as that relationship grows, so does the understanding of who God is. That God is not only love, God is light. God is truth. God is holy. God is good. God is merciful. God is faithful. God is just. God is immutable. God is long-suffering. I could go on and on in the character and the attributes of God. But here's the problem. I want you to hear this today. Here's the problem in our world and in our culture. People have profaned the love of God by trying to remove God's justice and His holiness and His truth from love. They say that God is only love. And in doing so, they corrupt the pure and holy love of God. They fail to understand who God is. Yes, God's love covers a multitude of sin, but folks, make no mistake about it, it doesn't excuse sin. So there are people that are trying to tell us, well, God's just all love. Everything that falls under that is of God. What I'm saying is, when we begin to study and to understand the many attributes of God, the more we understand who God is, the more I believe we will love Him. Amen? We need to understand who God is. We need to love who God is. But to love God is not only to love who God is. Secondly, to love God is to love what He says. While He was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." Listen to Him. Listen to Jesus. What does Jesus say? "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. If you love me, keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me." Jesus said, "The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." I love what Job said in Job 23, verse 12. "I have not departed from the commands of His lips. I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my daily bread." Job was saying here, I love what God says more than my necessary food. God says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It's not going to return void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Look at this. God says this, look. "My people are being destroyed because they do not know me. My people are perishing for lack of knowledge." And you say, "Preacher, I don't need any of that their theology stuff in my life." Oh, yes, you do, friend. Oh, yes, you do. Hear me. Your Christian life depends on it. Your growth and strength as a Christian depends on it. Theology is the study of God, the knowledge of God, the Word of God. Theos, God, Logos, Word, the study of God and His Word. And to study God is to know God, and to know God is to love God. To love God is to love what God says He loves, and to hate what God says He hates. Look at this. "You who love the Lord, hate evil. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies." Oh boy, look at this last one. "One who sows discord among brethren." Oh, there's so much more I could say right on this issue. But the more we love God, the more we love who God is and what God says, the more blessed, the more fruitful, the more fulfilled we're going to be in our lives. I love the first psalm. "Blessed is the man. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and upon his law he meditates day and night." And here's what's going to happen when a person does that. When you meditate, you're taking the Word of God and you're studying God and you're getting it inside of you. You will be like a tree planted by the waters. One translation says, firmly planted by the waters. So when you love what God says, loving what God says brings stability and fruitfulness into your life. Whatever you do is going to prosper. It's going to bring forth fruit in its season. Its leaf is not going to wither. And whatever he does prospers. But then I started looking at Romans chapter 1 this week. Romans chapter 1 tells us what happens when people do not know and love God. They become futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts are darkened. That's happening everywhere in our world. Professing to be wise, they become fools. It's everywhere. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. That is so prevalent in our world today. They worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. And here's the end result of all of it. They did not retain God in their knowledge. And so God gave them over to a reprobate mind. On another note, a positive note, look at this last point that the Lord gave me on this subject this past week. Here's the last point I want to make in this message today. To love God is to love what God does. To love God is to love who God is. To love God is to love what God says. To love God is to love what God does. God demonstrates His own love, that special, unique love that's part of who God is. He demonstrates that love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know what that means today? That means that God loves people. God loves sinful people. God loved me before I became a Christian, when I was out there in rebellion and blasphemy against Him. He loved me. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him would be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned. He who does not believe in Him is condemned already, because he's not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. What is it to love God? To love God is to understand, to appreciate what He did to redeem us from our sins. He paid the ultimate price. We were bought with a price, the Bible says. And I'm here to tell you today, the more we understand the price that He paid, the more we're going to love Him. And to illustrate this point, I point to a parable that Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and for joy over it. He sells all that he has to buy the field. He sells every possession that he has so he can buy this field, so that he can legitimately own this great treasure. That's what God did for us in His love. God in His love gave everything to buy the field. God gave Jesus, who endured the cross for the joy set before Him. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He did not come to be served, but to serve, to give His life as a ransom. The field is the world, and people are the treasure. Greater love, look at this. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. What did He command us to do? Okay, we've been talking about this subject for a long time. Here's what he commands us to do. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. To love God is to love what He has done. We're going to be entering into Holy Communion. This is all about what He did for us, the body and blood of Jesus that we celebrate, that we remember today. But it's also to do what God has done. And here's my last word before we pray. What did He command us to do? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.